views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Just want to thank you all for listening to today's show. What's up, Scotty? How you doing, brother? Hopefully all is well. Much love, much respect to everyone that's listening. Today is April the 13th. It's Friday the 13th, 2018. And we are going to have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704 is the area code. 802-5056 is the number, the call-in number. If you have any questions or comments, you'd like to chime in, then definitely do that there. I'm going to jump into today's show. And let me see really quickly. I can see the board and just want to say what's up to everyone that's there. Okay, so everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You can very easily do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com and hitting the donation prompt that's there. Give some of your financial energy. Don't make a donation to the platform so it will remain on air and bring you what you have deemed as being necessary and important and relevant. So do that, please. Definitely could do that there. You could also support the network by becoming a member in its social media platform known as BTR Community. For only $24 a year, that's $24 a year, you can become a member and post all the things that you would like to post inside of the social media platform without being as adversely affected as you are on Fedbook. Fedbook is a, just that, it's a book for the feds. And they use that information to their overall benefit, and it's adverse to you. They sell your identity and everything else, and it's just starting to come out. But we've been talking about this since Scotty created BTR Community, where for only $24 a year, you can be a member. And the first month of a free trial period, you can enjoy that, and so that you can see how the platform works is really, really good. So you definitely, in my opinion, want to be a part of that, okay? So, with that being said, everyone, if you would like to acquire real money, we've been extremely, extremely, extremely busy at Prosperity Mint. So, definitely check out what's in on the website, prosperitymint.com. Check out what's in inventory, then email info@prosperitymint. Someone will get back to you. There's a reason why we do that. It's for your benefit. It won't be used for any sales call or anything else. If you haven't received a telephone call back, leave your number, and definitely we'll get back to you. So look forward to doing that. And you can actually trade your cash for real money, and that's going to be very, very important in the future, because cash will return to its intrinsic value of nothing. Okay? Let me just say, tell you this. Currency is debt. And gold is money, and everything else is debt. Gold and silver is money. Everything else is debt. just so in the financial realm, very, very important. So that want to make that plain to you. That was actually said by J.P. Morgan Chase. He said, gold is money, everything else is credit. And I say gold and silver is money, everything else is debt. So definitely check out what's there, and then email info@prosperitymint.com and just say, hey, Dave said for me to give you guys a email and so that you can know how to purchase, the actual proper way of purchasing, and someone will get in contact with you. Okay? All right. Very, very important. Make sure you don't sleep on that. All right. So we're going to jump into today's show. We're going to have part two of yesterday's show. Let me just get situated here. Part two. And that's going to be a part two, firearms, handguns, and rifles, a means of protection. So we got to want to get into that. And so that will be today's show. It's a lot of great stuff inside of Tando Radio Show's page. All the information is there for you. Become a member. You can check out that. So I want to hurry up and get into some of this so we can get into the show. Really quickly, I want to cover a specific incident. And this is this whole thing why this situation in Syria, in my opinion, is definitely blowing up, and it will blow up. There was an article yesterday when the Mike Pompeo was being for confirmation for the new takeover, the Secretary of State position. He actually alluded to the U.S. Bombing in an airstrike and killing over 200 Russian soldiers back in February, which did happen. We covered that here, and I said that, believe me, Russia is going to retaliate. Well, they did, and actually the first article from Wall Street Journal, it talks about that. And the second article I posted, it was from a Russian publication, and you have to right-click it for English. And if you right-click it for English, let me see if I still have it up real quick. And this is what's really going on behind the scenes. Let me just hit it, and then I will pull it up and right-click it for English. You need to hear this, because it just shows what's really going on in this situation. The U.S. and Russia have already exchanged and have had major, major casualties on both sides. And, and as is being stated now, you'll see Russia lost a couple of 200 troops from the U.S. bombing on an airstrike. They bombed them on an airstrike and killed 200 Russian troops. This one is an article from Rex. And it's a Russian publication. It says, revenge for Wagner. Su-57 crumbles in Ghouta. PMC Americans, and that's private military contractors. That's what PMC stands for. The Su-57 Razor East Ghouta, along with, let me move this down, American soldiers who are not there, about 2,000 from the U.S. PMCs will remain in the land of Syria forever. Basically, they killed 2,200 U.S. troops and 1,800 PMCs. Then that is the private military contractors, Americans, and I think it was some other foreign countries. So in this article, it says, according to Syrian media, according to Syria media, there are already four Su-57s in Syria that harmonize with the land of East Ghouta, along with American soldiers. Also, the Syrian media writes that in East Ghouta, there were up to 2,000 U.S. soldiers and so-called PMCs, private military contractors. This figure needs to be supplemented by NATO soldiers who do not understand what they are doing there. American militants and terrorists need to be counted separately. They were killed, and they were killed much more. Goes on. Now, move this down. Now, no one doubts this is revenge for the Russian guys who died as a result of the America shelling a few days ago. It was an airstrike. The U.S. State Department tried to get through to Moscow, but no one was there to answer, as Lavrov said in Munich, and that is the Secretary of State equal to Russia, Sergei Lavrov. And this is what his quote was. The time for negotiation has passed. And this was back in February. The time for retribution has come. And it's reality and it's really true. And that was it. Oh, excuse me. Let me give you the quote again. Lavrov said, the time for negotiation has passed. The time for retribution has come. End of quote. And it really came true. Russia does not intend to tolerate the antics of the United States either in Syria or elsewhere. And believe me, now in Qatar, more abruptly than in Stalingrad. From there, no lives. Oops, let me see. From there, no live American soldiers will leave. So basically, what they were talking about here was that, and I actually posted one of the possible airstrikes that the Su-57s carried out in Syria in the Ghouta region, and that's where they killed 200 of them were known to be were said to be U.S. soldiers, and 1,800 of them were PMCs, private military contractors. And PMC, private military contractors, are individuals that used to be in the military that got out, and they were actually hired on by the military contractors to go back in and to perform different duties, up to even combat patrol and everything else. And so what happened was, once in the U.S. had killed the Russian soldiers, a couple of days later, Russia responded by killing 2,000 U.S. soldiers. And now that's what Russia is saying, is that's the real reason why the U.S. came up with this overall chemical attack false flag, and that's why they want to engage. And if they do engage, they will lose even more. So the U.S. and Russia have already started their overall military confrontation. So this is what happens when those things happen. And is this credible and believable? Yes, absolutely. Pompeo actually said that they did do it, but you didn't hear about what Russia said that they did, because the Russians really don't publicize a lot of the things that they do. So this, to me, this is extremely credible, and now we can see what, in my opinion, this makes all the sense in the world, why there was this actual response that you have here. And most people would say, well, how can you hide 2,000 American troops being killed? Very easy to do. Very, very, very easy to do. They don't report.
Not reporting.
For the families, all they do say is they were killed in a training exercise. They know why where they are and what theater of operation and how dangerous their jobs are. They get paid a whole lot of money to do it, and this is where Russia responded and took out 2,000 troops, U.S. troops, and U.S.-based private military contract individuals.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, Scotty, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you saw this report. I tried to find it in my bookmarks. It came out either yesterday or in the past few days, but one of the Russian spokespersons, I don't know his exact title, I had been saying that it's likely that that group, that specific group that's in that area of Syria, Eastern Ghouta, the guy who was named in other reports I had came across, who they are were part of the Islamic State, but also had their own little group name, and they had used some of those people that they've been holding hostage in them cities, using them as human shields, all of the barbarity that we've been seeing. And they named in this latest report from the Russians, they named that guy and said he's behind it. Said that the UK worked with him and are behind that chemical attack. And I was like, see, I was just saying on Black Talk Radio, I couldn't remember the guy's name, that this guy, I got to find the article, man, so that I could write my piece on it. But again, this is MI6. This is also CIA. And I also would throw Mossad in there as a, prime suspect. Because again, when you are beating these Islamists and rebels, whatever you want to call it, trying to overthrow the lawful government of Syria, you're beating them with conventional weapons with your allies in Russia, Iran, Hezbollah. You're winning on the battlefield. Why would you keep using chemical weapons when every time people talking about red lines and the U.S. and everybody else threatening to go in and you know, just blow this thing. Why would Assad? It just isn't no lie. It don't make logical sense, man. But the Russians named this guy. I'm going to find that report and put it in BTR community. But they named this guy and his organization specifically, who I have been pointing the fingers at. If they want to talk to somebody, go talk to him.
Yeah, you know, Scotty, yeah, and Sputnik News, they came out that it was actually the UK that MI6 and probably, as you said, all of the other agencies that were engaged that caused this. There's an article. We have evidence of UK's role in staging.
Yeah, with the white helmets.
For the,
as well.
Yes, the white helmet.
Yeah, mention the white helmets, but no. The terrorist group, the Islamic group that the CIA and MI6 and the United States government, UK government been supporting, saying Assad must go, you know, talking about some regime change. This guy, man, I'm telling you that he is the one who used on chemical weapons to try to frame the Syrian army or whoever.
Yeah. Yeah, and I posted inside of the chat, Scotty, that one article from Sputnik News. So check that out when you get a chance. And Scotty, there's a real short 2-minute YouTube video. It's right under where I said peace, LA. It's real, real short, and it just and I'll commentate it. Let me just so I pull it up, so because it's going to be talking and it's got subtitle. So that we can hear, and this may have been the actual, I tried to find, and I think I did find the actual airstrike that scraped the U.S. soldiers and the PMCs in Syria that was carried out by the SU-57s, which is a terror to the U.S. Military because the capabilities of that multifaceted strike aircraft. And pretty extensive. And they really, really hammered. And so I could see very easily how they could lose 1,800 so easy. I'm gonna play that real quick when you get a chance, Scotty. It's 2 minutes long, but let me finish what's in the news, the first part of it. Then we'll get into today's show. Very, very important. This is the whole setup. The war has already started, and it can't be pulled back now. Can't be pulled back now. The only thing that can stop this from happening is if the U.S. is allowed to save face. And they do, because the U.S. is pretty much done either way. If they don't do it, they're done. If they do it, they're done. So this thing is really blowing up. So next article that I thought was very, very significant was that, and just to augment that, Yahoo, U.S. military killed a couple of hundred Russian in airstrike. This is what was said during the prospective Secretary of State confirmation here. He admitted to it. And believe me, Russia did respond to it. Next article, I got this from archives.is. And I said, Mattis knows Russia ain't playing, and the U.S. can't attack without getting their hat handed to them. Don't do it. Trump is what I said. And this was from a Wall Street. U.S., France, and Britain craft a broad plan for strike on Syria. I guess there was a argument between the Secretary of Defense, Mattis, and the Joint Chief of Staff, Dunsford, against Trump and Bolton. And Trump and Bolton wanted a broad strike on an immediate strike on Syria, but the ones that talking them back and pulling it back was the Secretary of Defense, and this is what it said, I don't know, Secretary of Defense James Mattis in Dunsford, the Joint Chief of Staff, because they were worried about the overall ramifications and the retributions for attacking Syria would be, because they know that they would have to deal with, and U.S. troops would have to deal with, the overall Russian entrenchment there. They didn't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with it. And in the article, Mattis has said that in so many words, and he says it pretty extensively. And let me just pull it up. He basically, and I'm going to surmise what he says, we got to be calculated and strategical on this, if you know what I mean, because this can go out in a very, very horrible way if you catch my drift. That's what a lot of military individuals do. They don't tell you right out what's up. They talk around it, and you just have to read between the lines and catch what's up. He's saying that they ain't ready for this, and nor do they really want to engage in this because they know that they're outmaneuvered. They're outmaneuvered.
Dave, I posted the name of the guy in the chat.
Lead into. Go ahead, Scotty.
I posted the name of the guy in the chat. Jaish al-Islam Terrorist Group. That's the name of the group that the CIA... Okay. I mean, it's even documented in Wikipedia, which has the links to the outside.
Wow.
This is common knowledge that this is a terrorist group.
Yeah. Huh. And you know what? I'm glad you did, because I never heard of them at all. So, okay. Yeah. I got you. I see it. Yeah, but I never heard of them at all, Scotty. So, I definitely can see that that's it. I'm glad you posted that there. So, yeah, check out that. It's there. I'm going to check that out as well. So, Mattis was was actually sitting. I'm going to tell you, they're trying to buy as much time, because the longer they wait, it gives the opportunity for this to get a mass public cry to prevent it from happening. And right now is Britain, because remember, Britain said that Russia, they started this whole thing with expelling for that nerve gas, so to speak, of the spy. This was all a part of the same MO. And this is why you expel diplomats when you're at war. That's because Russia has already hit them and hurt them pretty bad. And they're losing positioning, because remember, Russia is there to fight ISIS and to target and destroy ISIS. So what does that mean? They're targeting U.S. troops, and they're effective in it. Completely effective in it. And now they can't lose the ground that they've gained. Because this is what happened. The U.S. walks away from this with their tail between their legs, what they should do. The overall dollar is going to take a major hit. Major, and it's going to be a free fall, and it's going to have cross-pollination in all fields, and the U.S. will lose all influence, and then this is where it is going to start to really to implode even further. So just want you to be aware of these things that's going on, and it's up to you to decide how to prepare. That's up to you. We'll try to do as much as we can to help you. Now, there was a within the real quickly, let me close this. At any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. I do anticipate that this overall military strike is going to happen. And when it does, the overall reprisal by Russia, Iran, Syria, and China is going to be, in my opinion, pretty extensive. And that overall response will not just be in Syria. It will also be here in the States and in different parts of the world. It's been said now that Russia has already stated that they will engage Europe. And that tells me that is going to be the Ukraine, that they're going to, in some of the Baltic state areas. They'll take over the Ukraine, invade the Ukraine, and then they will also engage Israel with Iran. And Iran says now that they're going to make Israel pay for their airstrike that they conducted on the Iranian airfield. And so they were waiting for the appropriate time. Now they're going to do it, and they're going to do it with Russia's help. And I'm going to tell you something. Israel can't withstand any form of bombardment, cruise missile attack, caliber missile attack, or anything else. That whole place, it will go, and then that will lead to practically possibly a tactical nuke being utilized, because Israel will not surrender. They're going to blast, and they're going to blast heavy, but they can't win they can't deal with on multiple sides. This ain't the 7-day war with just having to deal with Syria and Egypt from the 70s. You're talking about Iran with the overall augmentation help of China and with the overall direct support of Russia. Boy, this could be real, real ugly. So check out that. All right, so what I want to do, Scotty, let me just let me catch up real quick here. Let me get this down. Scotty, if you would just cue up that 2-minute. My computer is messing up. Hold on. We're having storms here. And we're also on tornado watch here.
Scotty, and we'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you, Otis. I'm not on the board. Thank you, brother. So yeah, we'll wait for. I think Scotty's back now. One second, Scotty. Let me get set up here because I may have to read the subtitles back in BTR News. Back in Kando Radio Show. One sec.
I can read the subtitles, Dave, since it's right in front of me.
You can do the subtitles, Scott? Okay, yeah, because we having power outages. And I just want to say this real quickly, everyone. The East Coast has been experiencing power outages sporadically. And then not only that, there were some cell phone outages in different parts of the country all this week. Now, coincidental could be, but I don't think so. It could be the actual test and dry run of things as well. So I don't know. I won't.
Now,
but very well could be.
Now, before I read this, I have to get a source. The source is the Washington Post. And so they part of that news media that is part of the propaganda machine. But
yes.
I'm just giving you that disclaimer. This is from the Washington Post. The Washington Post spoke to people inside the heavily bombarded suburb of Damascus. Almost 300 civilians are dead since intense airstrikes began February the 18th. All right, so this comes from, this was published actually February the 21st, almost a month ago. All right, so here we go. Since February 18th, almost 300 civilians have died in ongoing airstrikes. The violence seems to be a new push by the Assad regime to recapture. Hold up, man. They going too fast. The area has been controlled by rebels since 2012 and besieged by Assad forces since 2013. They're talking about Eastern Ghouta. This is where these terrorists, that organization that I mentioned, it has been controlling, using human shields and all, but Washington Post ain't gonna tell you that. They're gonna say it's rebels. Okay, this woman who is speaking for some nonprofit organization says, called Women Now for Development, the situation is really bad now. I almost have not slept in more than 24 hours. The airstrikes and artillery, they are targeting Ghouta nonstop. The siege is very intense. Everyone is in the basement. Bunker busting weapons are being used. This is somebody from the Syrian American Medical Society. There are many cases where people were buried in rubble. Okay.
Now, while I'm talking, there is three types of.
This is a quote unquote Ghouta Media Center activist.
Drones, helicopters, and Russian jets.
Audio of a bombardment from Ghouta Yeda's basement or Kayada's. So I don't know, maybe one should not think much about it at the end, it's just written destiny. That's again from an NGO women now for development. And no one can do anything to stop it. This has become part of our beliefs. So if you want to know who's funding these groups, just look them up. All right, Dave, that's it.
Yeah, and I wanted to just I showed that because inside of Ghouta, Assad's forces with the assistance and augmentation of the Russians have totally reclaimed control over that area, and that's where the 2,000 U.S. PMCs with 200 U.S. troops were most likely killed in some of those airstrikes. And those airstrikes that they're carrying out in Ghouta are extensive. I mean, Scotty can look at you can look it up on YouTube yourself. You can look at Ghouta, the area. It is a complete war zone that has been actually reduced to nothing but a real combat rubble zone.
Exactly. Hey, Dave, just the point that was being made, the people who were speaking that the Washington Post, showcased in a video, they talked about conventional weapons, right? Bunker busters, those are conventional weapons, right? So, So the very fact, like I had stated before you played this video, that alliance, the Russians and the Syrian government, was winning on the battlefield with conventional weapons. Why would they use chemical weapons?
Exactly. That's exactly the point, is that Ghouta has already been won completely. Now, who would use chemical weapons? You use chemical weapons it's a poor man's nuclear device. You use that when you're losing. When you're losing. And they haven't been losing Ghouta. They've taken back control of Ghouta. And the Russian control in the skies over Ghouta. Now, this is the overall actual part of the truth that's probably what's really going on. Now, I wanted to also for you to see this. Now, this may not be popular, but I really don't care. If this war expands, and I think it will, has the greatest chance to expand than any other war between the U.S. and the United States, because never has the U.S. and the United States or U.S. and Russia been at confrontational arms where they're exchanging fire on each other. If this goes, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, Ghouta could represent a city in the United States. Parts of the United States could end up looking like Ghouta because of the capabilities. China's capabilities, Russia's capabilities with Iran and with North Korea, who have extensive capabilities in the cyber field. You could have major cities in the United States in the same position, and I know that's hard for Americans to believe because you never lived through anything like that. It's never happened before. But I'm going to tell you something. In this type of world, in this type of setting, your whole lives change drastically. Just the overall concussions from airstrikes are damaging, extremely damaging to the body. You actually go into shock, and there's so many things. Look how everybody was shocked at 9/11, and that was four buildings in a confined zone. But look at the overall horror and shock that caused for the people that were there. Imagine. This is why the U.S. is in a position of disadvantage. The citizens, we are in a great position of disadvantage. And this is what I meant by we're soft. And we really need to get control over everything and stop allowing people that declare wars not having to fight wars. People that write laws not having to obey laws. People that create debt not having to pay it. This is the price Those individuals, those people in Syria, had nothing to do with this. And though there was 2,000 troops and 200 Russian troops that was killed, how many of the Syrian people have been killed? I'm going to tell you, just in the beginning, first 3 years of this overall confrontation, over 500,000 people was killed. And this started in 2009. And it's 9 years since then. Actually, some of the cities, I think Ghouta had a population of 23 million. I'm not quite sure. I think it did. Or a very, very high number. I forgot what it actually was. But if that was the case, that means practically a tenth of the population, and now it's probably moved up to a quarter of the population has been killed in this overall confrontation. This is what happens in war. The countries don't lose. It's the people of the world that lose. The citizens lose. The everyday people that had nothing to do with the confrontation, had nothing to do with it at all. They were just caught in the crossfire because that's the real target. And this is why people here in the States think it can never happen here, because we're thinking from a naive point of view. You're thinking that there is such thing as a United States that has a military to protect you. They have these weapons of war and weapons of mass destruction to use on you, and you're no different than the people of Ghouta. They don't respect you that way. This is what keeps them in power. So they're going to exploit the peasants and the peons as much as they possibly can. And there's a great sacrificial lamb that's waiting to be brought to the altar of slaughter to pay homage to their paganness. And that is being the people here. And this is how you get from Ghouta, New York, Boston, to Dallas, to Los Angeles, to Chicago.
Dave.
In any city that they choose. Yes, go ahead, Brother Otis, go ahead.
I just want to let you know, I've been friends with a reporter named Eva Bartlett for about 5 or 6 years, and I get a lot of inbox stuff from people trying to smear her. I shared an article. The title is A Personal Reply to the Fact Challenge Smears of Terrorists, Whitewashing Channel 4, which is a British station, Snopes, and La Presse, which is the French press. This girl has been going back and forth to Syria, and the article, I put it in the chat room, is very lengthy, and what it ended up being is a long article documenting from about 2011 till now specific articles and how the press, the U.S., Britain, the M16 that you're talking about, all of them,
MI6,
mm-hmm. MI6, who funds the White Helmets. It's a lengthy article, but if somebody wants to get up to speed of what's going on, because she actually has a lot of on-the-ground stuff about Ghouta from about 2009 right on through till now. And if you get a chance, all over that article, because she's embedded videos showing the direct lies that have been told on her when she'd been doing her reporting. And I just wanted to let you know, if you go through that article, it's lined up with everything you've been saying over the last 2 years. So it's a really good article for anybody that wants to try to get a handle on how we've been deceived about what's going on in Syria. I mean, she got interviews with actual Syrians, and she goes through, because they've been having a smear campaign on her, she actually goes through this article on videos that have been put up from 5 or 6 years ago and deconstructs them. And it goes through word for word almost for what you're saying. I'll mute myself. It's tight.
Yeah, I will definitely. I will definitely, definitely check it out, Otis. Thank you, brother. I will definitely check it out. And my man, L.A. Ramon, posted something that I think is really, really critical. L.A. Ramon posted, the advertising to recruit our daughters has a powerful propaganda campaign by promoting the story of the first black female brigadier general. is going to get young black females amped up. And I'm going to check that out. It's from the roots. And that's the overall design, is to get our a land without men is conquered, meaning someone comes in and takes control of your resources, takes control of your culture, takes control of your lives. A land without women is barren, meaning you don't exist. And they're going to send our young daughters. This has been the overall propaganda. This has been the actual objective for a very long time, because this is the depopulation program at its best, is to get your daughters on the battlefield. Even if they are not killed on the battlefield, they will be unproductive. Let me just tell you this for how this works. I remember in my days in the academy, some of the women that were in the academy with me, they were under so much stress that their cycle stopped. Imagine you're in a combat zone. Imagine back home. Imagine the women that are in Ghouta. The stress is so much. The human body is so precise. The human body says it stops the cycle so that she cannot bear a child, to bring a child into a stressful, combative environment such as that. That's not conducive to a healthy born child. So what does the body do? What does the great creator? What does the great creator give us? Our intrinsic value of us will stop the reproduction process. This is why war is so profitable for the overall system, because its intentions are fully made into existence. And because they school us, we become so foolishly ignorant to what's really ailing us. We look at fads, and we don't look at the intentions. We're easily distorted, because we've not been taught to think, we've been taught to obey. Every soldier obeys, and they're going to try to make our daughters the soldiers that will obey the order to go die for your country. And how sick is that? If there was a man on the streets and he told a woman, you're going to work for me and you're going to die for me, you would have the most vile things for that man, that you would call him the worst pimp in the world. Why don't we look at this from the overall fraternal order of government? How stupid are we not to see this obvious tactic as what it truly is? How cowardice are we to allow this? This is the intention. One thing, you can control you, how you respond to things, and that's the most powerful thing. It all starts with you. So I just wanted to bring that up. Definitely check out that article. Yes, is the daughters, our daughters is who they're after. So let me jump back into what so that's what I want to get into today's show. I want to pick back up from yesterday. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. If you have a question or comment that you would like to bring up, and we're going to be looking at protection. Now, there are many different ways of protection, and I don't want to say that for those of you that are do not want to use or engage in firearms as a means of protection. I thoroughly understand, and I definitely respect you as individuals. But the only thing that I have a problem with is for somebody that doesn't want to do that to try to stop me from doing what I'm not trying to stop anybody from doing what's important to them, because I realize I can't make anybody do anything. If the great creator can't make you do something, what makes you think that you can't? So it's never been my intention. I realize my sovereignty stops where someone else's begins, and I'm not trying to encroach on anybody else. What's good for that individual, I just hope that they have a peaceful, benevolent intentions But when people don't, because people have free will, they have a choice. And when people choose to, I'm going to tell you something. When people choose to, they can be just as powerful as you are for those that resonate on a in a high frequency of benevolency. Let me tell you how strong there is. There are people that are so evil that they can make themselves immune to pain because it's a spiritualness that's attached with it all. Now, our overall capabilities that were given to us that weren't taught to us by the schools are much greater than what we know. Much, much greater than what we know. So I think it's very, very important that we start to exercise that and utilize that gift. And just like any other gift that the great Creator God Almighty has given us, whenever we squander it, we lose it. It's perishable. Our talents and our abilities are perishable. This is why we've been perishing. This is why we go from crisis to crisis, from generation to generation, with no reprieve. Because we haven't created our sanctuaries. The people haven't. They've looked towards a leader to build it. And the leader is going to build a sanctuary that is going to fortify their overall rule over you. And that's it. So, today's show, we're going to get into part two of the firearms thing. And I just want to say before we get started, now, I do not know everything about firearms and things of that nature. No, it's not what my intentions are to try to come off as that or if, you know, to portray that. There's a lot of things that everyone should be learning. I just know from my overall life experience that it's had my whole, well, basically my whole adult life has been around firearms in some form or another. And because of it, I see the actual leverage that tool gives an individual in the means of protection. So I want to go over some of those things for those of you that would like to get into firearms. I know that's, you know, important to a lot of people. And I would definitely, a lot of the show, when we talk about firearms, the first people that I think about with firearms is I think about our women. I think about, not our women, the women. You know, our women, I'm talking about our women and our families, our mothers, our daughters, and I'm not saying any form of ownership or subordination when I say ours. So I think about the mothers, the daughters, the sisters. And so one of the things that I would say for us as men, and if you have a spouse or a partner in the house, and she is the, you know, as a woman, her physical stature may not be able to do the things with great ease that you do. So I want to make everything as practical. One thing that I say about a firearm in the house, everybody in the house should be able to use that, because if everyone in the house can't use it, then you better hope that the overall adversary or the challenge will come when you're home, and there's no guarantee that it will happen that way. There's an old saying, in battle you can only run as fast as your slowest runner. When you're in battle, you can only run as fast as your slowest runner, because then you're leaving people behind. So you never want to leave our family members behind. So this is why, to me, it's very, very important when we talk about firearms. And actually was talking to Jenna and Roz after the show briefly, and we were talking about some of the firearms things. And I really do want to express this. Listen, in today's world, the technology of rounds have made it so that a smaller caliber round can still be just as lethal and as effective as larger caliber rounds. The key to utilizing a firearm is, one, your overall expertise with it, how well you handle it, how well you can handle stress while using it, how well do you know your firearm, and how well you can evaluate and still think at the moment of crisis, where you can slow everything down while still being able to respond to things immediately. And that takes training. Whenever you buy a firearm, most people think that they're now protecting themselves. No, what you just done is you made yourself extremely vulnerable to a tool that is unforgiving. And you have to train with it. Your family has to train with it. You have to know it inside and out. And you have to, in my opinion, you should be utilizing the best possible tools to your advantage that you possibly can use. So I want to go over some of the top rounds, handguns, top six handguns. Raj had posted this, and I wanted to get back to it. Now, one of the things about, and I was saying that the rounds of today, the technology in the rounds of today are extremely advanced, to where you have rounds that are mission specific, meaning you could have certain rounds for certain things and they'll be quite effective. You heard one caller talked about the 5.7, the FN 5.7. That is a magnificent handgun weapon, and it's definitely mission specific because of what its capabilities are. And if you ever seen the rounds for that, it looks like a darn ballistic missile itself, because it's built for speed and it's built to be able to penetrate. Some rounds are built to penetrate, some rounds are built to punch, some rounds are built to have bigger holes, some rounds are built to have more critical mass trauma. And what do? They fracture. You have some rounds that come off, and as soon as they hit the body, they spread out like blades. And then some fracture and everything else. The rounds of today are far more advanced of what the rounds were of the past. So now we should be using that to our advantage. Now, your wife could be able to, or the women in our lives can be able to defend our homes even if we're not there effectively, and not have such an overpowering round or shell that knocks them down. And then not only that, if they fire those type of things and they don't have the physical stature to use them, they're not going to use them. And they're not going to be able to practice with them. They're not going to be able to have tactical training with them. They're not going to be able to be effective with them, because they're not going to want to do it. It hurts. So the recoil of the rounds is very, very important. Extremely important. So I want to go over some of the things that we should be employing to protect our homes. When it comes to a firearm, I will just say this, a handgun. For those of you that have a handgun, and for those of you that carry a handgun by way of a CCW or whatever, whenever you carry a handgun, there's a great responsibility that you have. And that responsibility is never, ever, ever to get into a fight, because you can't fight when you carry a gun, because now you're in a fight for life. You should always be walking away from and running away from confrontation. You only use a firearm as a last resort. And I want to give this example really quickly. Trayvon Martin really showed that he was actually murdered by how the whole thing went down. And you know what? The system knew he was. But what they wanted to do is they wanted to maintain and keep the overall environment of tension live and well, because they use that. Anybody that's investigated any kind of crimes and everything, you could tell right away that Zimmerman's story was a lie. One, because Zimmerman said that Trayvon was on top of him, and that's why he had a shooting. That's a complete lie, because if Trayvon was on top of him, he would have never been able to get that firearm out of his where it was. He actually had a jacket, and he talked about that gun would have actually been tracked. That means he had the gun in his hand the whole time. So all of these things start to bear out where you can start to see. When it comes to firearms, it is a crucial thing that you respect that overall capability of that tool. And we have to respect it from the standpoint of putting our families in the best position to survive and to be able to neutralize any threat, credible threat that comes to them. So it's not about being a macho thing. It's not about being where in that type of sense. This is why men don't shoot well. And this is why women, some of the greatest snipers ever were women. Russia just had one of their greatest snipers killed in the Ukraine. But then there was also another, I can't remember her name, from World War II, one of the greatest snipers ever.
Another day?
Beating out, I know Brother Davis was here. He may be able to help me. I can't remember the Marine sniper. Now, I'm not talking about the newest one from Iraq. I'm talking about the one from Vietnam. His name will come to me later. These women do very, very well when it comes to fire. Like I said yesterday, I've never seen a natural shooter that happened to me a male. Every natural shooter that I've ever seen and ever worked with were women. Far beyond. Because they don't come with an ego when it comes to fire. They come to learn. And they do really, really well. But we got a caller in queue real quick. Then we're going to get back to these rounds. But before we go, I've overstated. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Real quick, Rise, hold on 1 second. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Got my man Roz in queue. We're getting ready to go to Roz in 1 second. So I just want to say, so we're going to focus on some of these rounds, because we want to put ourselves in a position of advantage so that we can win. That is the goal here in the most effective way. One of the things that I try to do is get you the cheapest, most effective way for you to be able to mitigate any threat that comes to you and your family. So I want to just go over some of that right after we take some of our calls from our listeners. We got Roz that's in queue. Roz, what say you, brother?
Hey, peace and love. How you doing?
What's up, my man? How you doing?
Hey, man. Like Scotty says, you know, surviving behind these enemy lines, but I'm good. great show. That was Norman Hathcock. Carlos Norman Hathcock you were talking about, right?
That's right. Yes.
That dude was not a game. I saw a couple documentaries on him on the military channel, because they do like did it a while ago, but they run them on repeat about snipers from different wars and just the incredible capabilities of shooting that some of them had. And he always comes up at the top of the list. That dude was serious. He reminds me, there's a deity in the religion of Ifa of the Yoruba people. His name is Ochosi, and he's known as the Divine Archer. And he was so incredible that he could just shoot in any direction, and every time his arrow would hit the mark. And he accidentally killed his own mother, thinking that she was a thief. He heard somebody in his grove stealing some of his vegetables and stuff, and he sent the arrow, not knowing it was his mother that was picking the stuff, you know, to make some food. And he ended up killing his own mother. That's one of the Pataki's or stories of the Orisha that they talk about. So yeah, Norman Hathcock was not a game. Of course, you got psychopath Chris Kyle that everybody talks about now. But ultimately, what you just said was really powerful. Like when you're carrying a gun, or you know, you need to be responsible and avoid conflict. Now, I just say if you're carrying any weapon, you should be avoiding conflict. Because I stay with something on me. You're not gonna roll up on me. But I do that. I guess I live that exact life you're talking about every day. You should be avoiding conflict. Because it's important. It's life saving and on both sides, especially as black males, because you know, all they have to do is be in fear of us and things could change on a dime. So the idea is you want to be sensible about things, but also be prepared, because I've always said it, you know, and I even told my family that, you know, I said I go to New York every day, and I said, you know, if you see me on the news for anything and I'm dead, know that somebody tried to get at me and I had a handle mine. And I'm not going alone. So I made that crystal clear. So, you know, that's what I'm about. You're not going to come up on me and think it's going to be sweet at all. I don't come from that time frame, and that's not my pedigree. So, yeah, you got to be very, very wary when you're walking around with anything. Whatever it is you choose to carry on you, you should be trying to avoid conflict at all times if you can. Earlier in the show, you were talking about the situation with the U.S. and Russia and Syria and all these different countries, and it just reminds me of the victims have turned on the bully. Everybody who's been getting bullied for all of these decades are coming together, and it's funny because it's happening on multiple fronts. You have, you know, the trade war, you have the economic situation happening where everybody's just discarding the use of the U.S. dollar altogether, and now you have these hot shooting conflicts that are starting to boil up now. So really, we're going into a holistic scenario of loss of life. And America has never experienced having an invasion on its own soil, so there's not a city I think that's prepared. I think the people that will be most prepared are those the Duck Dynasty boys, because they train all the time, but they're looking to kill black people. So I think, you know, in those areas they'll be pretty decently prepared unless they get something dropped on them. But the vast majority of the country is going to be a walkthrough as far as that's concerned. They're just not prepared. And you were talking about our cities looking like Lebanon and whatnot, Beirut, and it made me think. There's a documentary called The 7-5 about East New York. It's a precinct in East New York, and it was considered in its time in the 70s the most deadly 5-mile square area in the entire country, just for known for rapes, robberies, murders, police shootings, everything. And when they drove through the neighborhood, it looked just like that. It looked like somebody just dropped a bomb in East New York. And if you look at early hip hop documentaries where they go like,
I remember those days.
Show you the South, South Bronx, and you know, you will see that New York looked like that. The difference was all of that destruction was domestic. It had nothing to do with anybody dropping bombs, though it looked like somebody dropped bombs over there. So, you know, I have a feeling, like you said, we're going to go back to that type of stuff, and it's going to be serious.
It was really a governmental campaign.
Absolutely.
Because that's what bombings are. And they don't always have to have an airstrike to turn the neighborhoods into rubble, is really what Roz is saying. But go ahead, Roz.
Yeah, and the thing is that during that time, that's when the gangs were the law. So it's going to go right back to what you talked about with the black market and all of that. And back then in the 70s, you know, gangs had integrity. So they would protect their neighborhoods. They would, you know, stop rapes and things. You couldn't rape people in certain areas. You would be killed for it. It was just the way things were done. And they couldn't trust the police. And the 7-5 is exactly about not being able to trust the police and how corrupt they were. They were considered like the most corrupt precinct in the country at one point. And that's what the documentary is dealing with. And the exposure of this particular cop that was at the top of the food chain is in regards to corruption. But ultimately, it's going to go back to that now. It really is. It's just that I don't think people have realized we're already there. We're just not seeing it as far as the effects yet. But everything is psychologically going back to that already. And the crazy part is now they have even more technology to maintain control over people. Whereas in the 70s and stuff, there was no such thing as cell phones. There was no such thing as cameras on every corner and satellites filming you and artificial intelligence being able to pick your face out of a crowd. None of that existed back then. Today it does. So it is going to be very similar, but also very different, because people aren't going to be able to act with reckless abandon without there being repercussions like they used to in the past, because things have changed. So it's going to be interesting to watch all of this stuff unfold, and hopefully, you know, our people are prepared, you know, so that we can survive this and get things done where we need to get things done, and shift the system in a different direction. So with that, I'm going to mute myself and just say, great show, brother. Peace and love, and peace to you too, Scotty.
And much brother, love, much. Much love, Raz. Always add a lot of content to the overall show. So just hold on, Raz. So, you know, it's so true what Raz was talking about. We're fundamentally there, but the technicals haven't displayed themselves yet. We're already there. Fundamentally, we're there. Been there for a while. The technicals haven't displayed themselves just as yet. And so with that being said, want to go over some of these rounds. There are handguns, okay? And now I posted inside of BTR the overall ammunition, handgun ammunition, that I consider the best on the market right now. And the reason being is that, and it was Underwood Ammunition. And Underwood has, in my opinion, the most lethal and effective and efficient rounds that the market is making right now. And I would definitely say when it comes to defending yourself, you should have the best technology that you possibly can have. Yesterday I talked about, you know, just get a reliable handgun. Some people prefer Beretta. Some people prefer Glocks. There's different reasons that people prefer things, because some things fit people's hand better. It sets their eye up better. They like it because they bought it, so it's the best. But what happens is that if you get a reliable, the technology within the firearm systems is really, really minimal. The technology with the rounds, with their overall capabilities, have been really, really minimized. But the technology of the rounds themselves and being as effective have been much, much better. They have rounds that are designed to do certain things. There are rounds that make a cavity bigger, hollow point rounds, full metal jackets. You have fractured rounds that actually fracture out. One of the things that I will say is that some of the rounds that you'll start to see now is you'll see lead-free rounds that are cheaper. I stay away from lead-free rounds. Reason being is because a lead-free round is that round is going to be compromised in penetration, and that round is going to be compromised in accuracy, okay? Because it's you know, one of the things about a round, once it goes off and the projectile leaves and the bullet leaves the casing in the barrel, the weight of it is very significant for its overall kinetic energy and being able to penetrate the environment. Most people don't know that you actually, in long distance shooting, that you have to put in the overall rotation of the earth into your equation to being able to put a round on target from a very long distance. You got to be able to look at the heat, got to be able to read the waves, the heat waves and everything, the radiation of the movement of the earth, everything, the wind, everything. All of these things, because you're talking about a scientific algorithm that you're putting together in physics in order to get from one place with time, speed, and energy to another spot at a specific time. That's all mathematics. So I stay away from the lead-free rounds, because lead-free is what the system wants you to have, because then you can't protect yourself with lead-free. It compromises your ability to protect yourself. Now, it won't go through your walls, you know, that's true. But I would much rather have a round that's going to be able to, if I'm going to use it, it means that I need to use it, because it's a last resort thing, and it's a matter of protecting my life or someone else's life. And I don't want to have compromised tools, compromised technology, or compromised or using something that's not going to get the job done. So Underwood ammunition, great ammunition. Some of its ammunition, some of its rounds are actually shaped like a screwdriver. There's a reason why that is, like a Phillips screwdriver. There's a reason why that is, so that it can penetrate. So most people think that hollow points is real good. Yeah, hollow points are good, but, you know, sometimes hollow points won't even go through denim jeans, because the hollow point itself gets filled with the overall debris from the shirt, a jacket, or jeans, and then now the round is not as effective. It doesn't penetrate. It doesn't connect with vital organs. It doesn't cause for mass trauma. It doesn't stop the person. All of these things come into factor. So I would say, if you're going to be purchasing a firearm as a protection, depending on who's in your home, and if you have if there's ladies in your homes, from your teenage or young daughters, or to your spouse, or your whatever arrangements that you have, your significant other, however you're doing it, you want to be able for the weakest person in your home to be able to protect the whole home, the physically weakest person. So what that means is that, in my opinion, you get a good firearm, a reliable firearm, and there's many of them, your preference, and then there's some of them that are very, the price points are really good. Just get a good firearm, and the round is the most important thing. This is why, in that top six handguns, my personal preference, this is just me, my personal preference for home protection would be a 9mm, because ladies can handle a 9mm, and you can get rounds that maximize the overall penetration that round will have by having the right ones. You get some of the Underwood ammo, the 9mm ones, the Extreme Defenders. You get some of those, or some of the other ones that they have that's there. Oh, the overall trauma that round will cause, and is much smaller, easy to handle. The recoil is much less. That makes it a whole lot easier. You can also get subsonic rounds. Now, the thing with subsonic rounds is that the overall bullet is heavier. The 9mm is 158 grains. So that means that the overall density of the bullet itself is a heavier bullet. Heavier bullets do what? They travel with the same load of the casing. It's more weight, so it's going to do what? It's going to cause the round to go slower. If it's a lighter round and more aerodynamic and everything else, it's going to make it go faster. Now, that's where you got it, where it's going through things. And the 9mm, a lot of people have talked bad about the 9mm as a defensive handgun, because they didn't realize that it wasn't the 9mm that was the problem. It was the round that they chose to use as a 9mm. A lot of them use subpar kinetic energy rounds, or rounds that didn't have the overall right design and weren't the right load for whatever it is that they needed to do. Depends on what your mission is, and depends on what your objective is. Inside the home, a 9mm, you can for your, you know, for the ladies in the house, is light enough for them to handle it, and it's definitely powerful enough to defend the home. that for them to defend you, defend the children, defend whoever they need to defend themselves that's there, and be quite, quite effective, and be able to do that in a sustained manner. Meaning, they're not just going to be relying on one shot. What if they have to be able? What if they have to be able to defend themselves against multiple assailants? If the rounds are too big, they're not going to be able to handle it, and it's going to throw them all off, or even they'll drop it, and then it's all over. See, when we think about protection, we got to think about the practicality of it all. Very, very important. So it's the round that matters. The overall firearm itself, like I said, Smith & Wesson makes good ones. Beretta makes good ones. Glocks make good ones. Walters makes good ones. All of the leading ones, they make good firearms. They're all relatively reliable. Find the one that has the best fit for your eye, your hand, the weight of it. And you can choose that, you know, and what happens is that you can get some with different magazine capacities that will lighten the load. You can actually lighten the gun by modifying the overall firearm, by actually cutting parts of it out. It's going to cost you a little bit, but that is going to make it more effective. You can have the trigger adjusted, everything. You can customize a firearm for your home protection. And I'm going to tell you, a 9mm is very, very effective in protecting your home if you do it correctly. What I would do, if I was you all, some of the things that I would do is that I would look for if you have homes that are families with you and your wife, or you know, or you have young children or teenage children, your teenage daughter, then you could get a 9mm. And with the Underwood ammunition, you can go to the 9mm, get one of the extreme defenders or even extreme penetrators if you can find them. Now, these rounds are going to cost a little bit more, but you're paying for the great craftsmanship and abilities of these rounds. I would definitely look at getting something. Some of the ones that I would recommend the control factoring round, hollow point rounds, the extreme defender rounds, and from 65 grain up to 90 grain, and let me pull up the extreme defender ones real quick. They go up in the overall. Let me see. Okay, let me see which ones they have here where I could just. One second. Okay. Let me get some of their choices for. So there are many choices that you would get. Now, I will say this. You'll see some rounds that have P+. I would stay away from the P+ rounds because that means that the pressure is stronger in that round. The way that the load is loaded is much stronger. And that is actually, in my opinion, that's not good for your overall barrel of your firearm. You don't need in today's world, you don't need that. You'll see it says plus P. I don't think that those are necessary because they add exorbitant amount of pressure to the overall barrel structural integrity of your firearm. In today's world, when things go awry, you don't know what is going to happen, what the availability of firearms will be. So you want to protect your tool as much as you possibly can. So I always stay away from anything that has plus P. Okay, that's pressures, higher pressures. You don't need higher pressures in your firearm. So I would go to Underwood Ammo and hit Extreme Defender off of their website, Extreme Defender, and then I would look for the 9mm ones. Sometimes these rounds, they sell out a lot, and they don't have a lot of stock in them, and the 9mm is the most difficult one to get from here, because a lot of people are aware of real shooters know, or are people that are avid shooters and are aware that this company is in existed, they can never make enough 9mm rounds because they are highly sought after because of, you know, just what they're able to do, their full potential. So try to find a 9mm. They have some in stock now. They have the 90 grain, the 65 grain. They have also, it have it in the plus plus P. You have to have a barrel and a slide that's rigid enough for that, in my opinion. So they do have the 9mm that's there. They also have a 45 and a 40 caliber as well. Now, with that is that with those rounds, you can even move up to a higher caliber round, and that will help you too. So for the everyday people, for us, especially for people that are just learning, now when you first get these rounds, don't target practice with these rounds. You buy some ball rounds, cheap ball rounds, cheap ammo from Walmart to practice with, okay? That's what you practice with, because shooting is still shooting. These rounds aren't going to act a different way with the nomenclature of the firearm. So you just practice with your training rounds. But when it comes to defend, when you get home, you take out your training rounds and you put your defensive rounds in. All of these are defensive rounds. Then they also have extreme penetrators. They got extreme hunters and extreme maximum expansion rounds. And it's really all of this stuff is, you know, specific to what you need to do. Okay, the extreme penetrators, they're going to come in higher loads, and they're going to actually have and they're built to be able to, because one thing is that if you're outside, or even if you're in your home, if you shoot through something, it's going to weaken that overall round and alter its trajectory, or it's where you're aiming and trying to get it to is going to alter that. You got to be mindful of that. So all of these things, anything that hits that round hits is going to start to slow that round down, and that is going to take away from its accuracy and its ability to penetrate. Well, the extreme penetrators are actually designed and built to be able to go through the elements of wind and go through any debris such as tree limbs, leaves, and other things, and jackets and everything else. The Extreme Defender is as well, without changing its overall velocity or its kinetic energy upon impact. Okay? So these are great rounds if you go outside. Okay? These are great rounds for outside. Then they have some hunter rounds for that, and those are more specific for wild game, large animals, and you definitely, I tell you, the firearm, if you ever want to really see, and I would definitely say for you to check out some things on YouTube, your round is more critical than anything else, and is best seen when hunting, when you see people hunting big game, particularly like wild boar and everything else. If you come with the wrong round on a wild boar, that boar is going to be on you and through you before you know it. So that's why you have to be mission specific on what is it that you want to accomplish. What are you going to be doing with this? And so you can take a look at the extreme hunters, and you can see that those rounds are built and made differently. They're much sharper so that they can penetrate very thick skin from whatever it is that you're hunting, from alligator to wild boar to deer, you know, because the hide on animals is much more resilient than human. Now, could you use this as defense? Of course you can. Of course you can. But I would use this for more of what it's designed for. So some of you that are out in the country and you got wild boar around and things of that nature, these are the rounds that you want to have. But once again, you want to have the right round and the right firearm for that. To be able to stop a wild boar with a handgun, that means you need to have a very, very powerful handgun with a powerful round. There are rounds that can do it, but the thing is, can you handle it? Can you handle that overall round and be able to deliver it through your fundamental shooting to be able to deliver that round to where you need it to go? When you need it to go, that takes skills, takes practice. Listen, you're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, take a look at some of these rounds, and then that also take a look at where you could purchase some of the rounds, and then talk about some of the tactics that go along with having a firearm. Very, very, very important. You listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, as we go over some practical home defense rounds. So the article that Raz posted, it was the best survival guns you want to own, and they have the rounds, meaning the gun goes along with it. So it has a – I give you the rounds. It's a 22LR, 380 auto, a 9mm Luger, a 357 SIG, a 38 Special, a 357 Magnum, a 40 Smith & Wesson, a 44 Magnum, a 45 ACP, and a 500 S&W, Smith & Wesson. So these are all variants of rounds, and they all do different things. But the difference between a 9mm round and a 40 round and a 45, there are some differences in the overall ballistics of the overall round. But if you can shoot well, then the rounds will do exactly what they were designed to do. If you can stop someone with a 22 or with a 9mm, then you know. You're good. It does work, you know, because neutralizing a threat is neutralizing a threat. Now, I'm going to tell you something about rounds. Just because you have a powerful round doesn't mean that that round is going to actually do what it's supposed to do. Some rounds are fault. There's a human error in a lot of these things, machine errors. This is why practicing is very, very important. And so I want to go over that with tactics with the round. But before I do that, let me just say, so getting, if you want to get a 380 auto, then find one that does well for you. There's different places, because we're all over the country. There are some states that have regulations on what you can have. Make sure you know that whatever the state laws are, so you can be in full compliance of the state law until the proverbial crap hits the fan, then forget about all forms of law. It's yo-yo, y'all. You're on your own. So keep that in mind. Find out what's best for you. Shoot them. See how they feel, the recoil and all of them, and then build your overall shooting skills from there. But I would definitely say that, you know, for home defense, all of these rounds are really good. But I would also say that having something like a 500 if for the men, having a 500 saying, yeah, I protect my home with a 500 Smith & Wesson. I mean, that's cool. It will work. It definitely will work. But what if you're not home? Somebody else in the house needs to use it. Can they use it? So very, very important. 45 is a great weapon. A 44 Magnum is a 40. All of these are good. There's different opinions about why you would use this, why you would use that. If you use the right round, all of that gets mitigated, because the rounds of today, if you get the right ones, they do the job. They won't fail you unless there's a faulty one. This is one of the reasons why I really do advocate having a semi-automatic, because you may have multiple assailants. One round may fail, or you don't know the person's clothing may deflect or stop, you know, some of the rounds. I tell you what, those Underwood arms, doesn't matter how big of a jacket they have, that's not going to stop that round. Doesn't matter how thick their overall denim is not going to stop that round. That round is going to penetrate that. Other rounds won't do it. And it's so funny, in the shooting world, some things you'll be surprised. You would think that a 45 would have more penetration than a 9mm, or you would have the 9mm is going to go further in man, when it comes to shooting, as soon as that round leaves the barrel, physics change sometimes. Conditions change, and it all deflects. So that's why having good shooting skills, one of the things that I've learned tactically is that you never just rely on one shot. You use a series of, for me, I was taught that you use a series of three. And because there's a lot of things that can go wrong, you can miss, you can, a round can be deflected. You know, I've actually seen a person that was shot with a 45 in the head, and the round just hit their head and bounced around, because people's dynamics are different. And actually a 45 hit him in the head and went around, didn't penetrate the skull. And a 45 is definitely supposed to penetrate, but that round didn't. It could be because of the kind of round it was. So tactics in shooting. Make sure, I would say, if you're going to learn how to shoot, make sure that you get shooting instructions from the best possible person that you can get. Because there are different tricks, there are different degrees of teaching, there are different experiences that people have. You want to find the most experienced person that you possibly can find, and the one that has the best teaching etiquette for you. Everyone is different. Everyone is different. But I would definitely say, shooting is extremely easy, but is made difficult by trying to correct bad habits that people have already come together. Worst thing that you could ever do, in my opinion, is to watch movies to learn how to shoot. Because what it's going to do is going to establish bad habits that will prevent you from, will take you much longer to become a more efficient, effective shooter. Now, what is an efficient, effective shooter? Just because you can hit a bullseye with a handgun, with a firearm, doesn't make you a good shooter. It makes you a good paper shooter. But can you do that quickly and effectively and safely and multiple times? And can you do it while you're moving? Can you do it with one hand? Can you do it with your weak hand? If you're left-handed, can you do it with your right hand? If you're right-handed, can you do it with your left hand? Can you do it with your left eye and your right eye dominant? Can you do that? You got to go through all the scenarios. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to take thousands of rounds to get that good. Then can you handle stress and do it? Many, many things. So training is the most important thing. And I would definitely say, One of the bad things that we do is that we start to diminish our capabilities of becoming effective shooters by establishing bad habits, because then we get bad muscle memory. A lot of people will shoot and try to look to see where their round is going over their sights and everything else. They never uphold proper sight alignment and sight picture. And because of that, they never develop into good. They have to now try to break that habit, and then that's going to get them further away. Learning to shoot is extremely easy. Extremely easy. You could actually learn how to shoot right where you are and learn how to shoot effectively right where you are. It's just one of the things that we need to be taught properly. It's proper sight picture and proper sight alignment. And you can look these up on YouTube and everything on what proper sight picture is and proper sight alignment is. Proper sight picture is this, is that your sights is on the target and it's on the target where you want that round to go. But how to get there, most people don't know. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Proper sight picture means that you're not focusing on the target that you're trying to hit. Most people think that in order for me to hit the target, I got to be able to see the target as clearly as possible. No. If you're a good shooter, you never, ever want to focus on the target that you're hitting, that you want the round to hit. See, that's a misnomer. Your focus is just primarily, you want your front sight post, your aiming point, your front sight post, to be as clear as you possibly can get it. And your target is a blur, meaning you're not ever focusing on your target. Because your mind can only do one thing at a time. So proper ways of shooting is that your target is a blur. Your sight is in full focus. Then there's breathing and all these other things that go along with it. Very, very, very true. But good shooting always starts first and foremost with proper sight picture, proper sight alignment. Sight alignment means that your front sight post, your aiming point, is evenly placed between your sights, your front sight post and your rear sight aperture. There's a space that's there. And in that space, it should be evenly cut and evenly placed in the middle, both from left to right and from top to bottom. That's the very easy process of shooting. Very difficult for people to learn and do and focus on it. Because, especially for men, because men come with the ego. Come with an ego. Young ladies, they listen, especially because they respect that firearm. That's why they want to listen. And then they apply what it is. So, keys to shooting: proper sight picture, proper sight alignment. You can look that up on YouTube to get it. Also, another thing is that you never, ever pull the trigger. You can't shoot well if you pull triggers. The proper thing is that you have to remember, this is physics. Everything that you add, every jerk, every misplaced pounds per square inch, every pull, every push, every movement that you apply to that overall firearm is going to be represented in that barrel and then that overall round, where that round is going to go true to where that barrel is, if that firearm is properly functioning. You never, ever pull the trigger. Once again, we get taught all the wrong things. You hear people say, pull the trigger. No, you never pull the trigger. Pulling the trigger means you miss. You pulled it. You've destroyed your sight alignment and sight picture. You destroyed the mathematical equation that you put in to get that round to go where you want it to go because you pulled it. Some people shoot with Kentucky Windage from 2 yards and 3 yards and 1 yard away. Being funny, Kentucky Windage is a form of a way of shooting. But you can't have Kentucky Windage 1 yard away. You're pulling it. But some people, that's how they learn to shoot. That's how they do it. If it works for them, cool. Very, very well. But pulling is always a bad thing because pulling, you're never going to pull the same amount all the time. Means you're going to miss. You're going to miss. And trying to pull at distance, you can pull and get away from it from two, three feet and still be on the target. But now, when you add distance, every degree that you off is magnified by the speed and distance that you're trying to make up between. So you never pull a trigger, you squeeze a trigger. And you also want to stay on your sights until the overall firearm goes off, the pistol or the handgun goes off, and it's a surprise to you. It's a surprise to you because you're not focusing on it. If you ever focus on when is it going to go off, when is it going to go off, that means you're going to jerk. You're anticipating it going off. That means you're going to add another equation to the overall equation. You're going to add more to the overall formula of success. You're going to add degrees, and they're going to be off. I've never seen anybody anticipate well. So shooting is something that's a discipline that you have to learn. You have to do it with you know, you have to do it a lot, and you have to have, in my opinion, have good fundamental training that then you can expand on with good fundamental tactics. One of the most important things with shooting is that we never put ourselves in the same condition that we may have to find ourselves in shooting. What do I mean by that? Tactics. When you get into shooting, you want to shoot in a way and practice shooting from a position of advantage where you're behind cover and concealment instead of out in the open. Because out in the open shooting is different than having cover and concealment. And there's a real, real discipline that comes with out in the open shooting. That's why tactics with a handgun is so important. What do I mean by out in the open? It's just like target practice. You just stand in front of a piece of paper and you blast. The only thing you're doing is just blasting. Getting familiar with the overall recoil and the sounds of the gun and everything else and everything else. You know, you can do some elementary or fundamental work on some fundamental things, but paper don't shoot back at you. Paper don't try to hurt you. Paper don't try to harm you. So, but it's a good start. I would definitely say that open shooting and the right tactics is not probably what a lot of people know. And I would say this. Let's say you're in your home and you find yourself in a position where you have to, the person that you're trying to protect yourself from, and you have a firearm, they have a firearm, you're trying to protect yourself from, you don't have cover and concealment. Guess what the rule of thumb is? First person that blinks lose. And what I mean by blink is that, and you have to be trained this. Don't try. So I'm not going to say that because I don't want to give information to people that may not be ready for it. But there's things that you would have to do, and you have to learn those type of things. Very, very, very important. And it's not what you would think that they are to do. It's generally the opposite. They're generally the opposite, and especially opposite of what everything Hollywood teaches us. One of the things you want to know what Hollywood shows you, so you'll never do it. Look at Hollywood on what not to do. Good rule of thumb there. So, getting the firearms, getting properly trained before you get it, and how to utilize it and apply it is critical. Is really, really critical. And I'm going to say this real quick before we get out of here. I'm going to give you something that you could practice and become a very, very proficient and effective shooter. What you want to do, if you're left-handed or right-handed, so let's say you're a right-handed individual. What you want to do is you take your right hand, push it all the way out from your nose like you're looking at your finger, and put up your index finger as a number one. With the backside, the not the palm side of your hand, the palm side of your hand facing away from you, like you're telling somebody to stop, and just hold your index finger up. Then you're going to take your left hand and hold up the peace sign, spread the peace sign. And what you're going to do is that you're going to have your peace sign equally like a rabbit's ear, and take your index finger and make it, put it in the middle of the index finger and, I mean, put it in the middle of the space between the peace sign, so that you have your peace sign and then your index finger that's in front of your peace sign. Hold your peace sign just a little back. And you want to have your three fingers evenly spaced top and bottom. That if you put a level on there, it would be all square. And you want to equally space from left to right. That represents the front sight post, the sights of a handgun. That's what most handguns sights look like. Now what you do is you put your finger and your rabbit's in your peace sign, you put your index finger on something that you would consider your target. And what you do is that your erect finger out front, you focus on that, and whatever it is that your target is, in the background, it's a blur. And if you can focus on just only the finger and the and having your target blurred behind it, and you can discipline yourself to only focus on that, you have just started to becoming an expert shooter. The proper training of things is so important. If you look at your target, you're going to miss it. If you focus on what you're trying to hit, you're going to miss it. And the further it is, the bigger the degree that you're going to miss it by. You can get away with it from 2 feet. You can't get away with it at 25, 30 feet, 40 feet. This is the fundamentals of shooting. Your index finger, or what you can do is just hold your index finger up, put it on something that would be your target. Let's say like your light switch in your home, or just a box. So you would put it on something, put it on a box, and the box or the light switch is blurry because all of your focus is on your fingertip, your front sight post, your fingertip, and that is where you want to focus and have that come in as clear as day. See, most people would think that you need to see what you're going to hit. No, what you need to see is your front sight post. Whatever that is on is what is going to be hit. You need to do on, you need to really focus from your nose to the end of that barrel. That's where all your concentration and your vision needs to be the clearest. If you're looking further than that, you're going to miss. If you can master that and practice doing that, when you ever do start to get to shooting, you will see that you will always be on target. Now, just because you have a firearm in your hand and then you're going to be using it, do not get away from and break the disciplines of what you've been practicing. Practicing will make you better. So, just wanted to give you all that tip on how to properly learn to start to shoot, and we're going to try to do more of this, and definitely hopefully we could have the RDP first training day with you all in firearms instruction, and so we could get you to doing and practicing this. So I just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Much love and much respect. Scotty, have a great weekend. My man Ross, thank you, brother Otis. Thank you, brother Braggs. What's up, Jenna? Much love, much respect. And it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, ladies and gentlemen, always give one away. Much love, much respect. Brother Braggs, you'd be so kind to chime us out. We'll talk to you soon. Peace, peace. Much love and respect.
Peace, peace.
Peace, peace, Brother Braggs.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.